Buddy, and welcome to the Buddy Mind and Soul Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Today's topic is going to dive into my personal experience with body image, and I do want to give a trigger warning for those out there who may struggle with body image or eating disorders. I know this is a very sensitive topic, and I never want to take away from anyone's struggle. Everyone's experience and story is valid. And it wasn't until about a few years ago when I realized that a lot of people are struggling with body image. I know this sounds silly, but I really thought there wasn't a lot of people I could open up to about how much I struggled with how I looked. And society is evolving, people are changing, and you know, we're bringing more things to light with mental health and physical well-being. So things have changed from 10 years ago, and it really is for the better. When I was really young, I was obsessed with being skinny. And although I am in a better, healthier mindset now, I still struggle every day to love my body for how it is right now at this moment. And I think that is the constant struggle for myself. So if you feel like you're alone and you're having these habits where you always look at the mirror and you restrict certain foods, or you have this reward or punishment system with food, or you try binge exercising in a week to lose weight, you're not alone. And the way you feel is valid no matter what you look like, any size or shape. I also want to note that for the longest time, I felt that people that were skinny or really fit didn't have body image issues. But that's not the case. And people that I aspire to look like, you know, I realized they deal with a huge body image issues or relationships with food too. So recently I had followed this YouTuber or fitness influencer, and her name is Stephanie Buttermore, and she documents her journey of going all in, which was something so mind-blowing for myself, because she really helped me kind of realize my relationship with food, or maybe what I was experiencing too. She had this extreme hunger, she would call it, and she would have these videos of like her cheat meal days where she would eat like 5,000, 8,000 calories, and she was a super lean, fit woman, and she could eat so much and she would never get full. So she took it upon herself to go all in, is what she calls it. So she just eats as much as she wants. And eventually she gained weight. And you could see the process of that throughout the year or two that she did that. And then eventually, you know, her body plateaued. And I know there's a science behind it. I don't think it necessarily will work for everyone. I'm not sure. But it kind of helped me understand that I don't know if I would call it extreme hunger, but I dealt with always wanting to eat. Like, I still do always want to eat for the most part, or like snack. And I just love food in its own way of like loving the culinary world and cooking and stuff like that. But I also love eating and snacking even when I'm not hungry. And that kind of led to a lot of this hard relationship that I had with food as well. But watching her experience just made me feel so validated, and was able to get on a healthier path mentally to understand that really accepting myself for not trying to look like anyone else, and, you know, realizing that every person struggles too. Accepting your body is realizing that you need to get your mental health right, and accept who you are in every phase that you change, and learning to love your body for showing up for you every day. Because our bodies do so much for us, and the right way to think ourselves is to treat it kindly. And it can be hard. I mean, I didn't realize this till, you know, a couple years ago. So with that said, I'll begin with my early childhood, young adult experiences that kind of was the root of where it started for me, where I had certain experiences or issues that kind of just snowballed into each other. So from the time I could remember to like about fifth or sixth grade, I never had body image problems that I could think of. I was a pretty slim girl. My sister and I were pretty slim, and we used to have six packs. I mean, I was like 9 or 10, and I don't know if it was because I got a boyfriend or started getting into that age where I liked boys, But after that, I always felt so hyper aware of how I looked to other people, and especially boys, because, you know, that's like what life is about when you're that age. At least for me, it was. And if you're like me or some young girls, then you have that first moment when you start shaving everything because you don't want to be hairy. That's the first thing I was hyper-focusing on. Hairs on my knuckles or on my toes or on my sideburns. I literally shaved everything or tried to pluck stuff. It just wasn't something that you should be doing as a 10-year-old. So towards the end of elementary and 7th grade is when I started becoming a little bit more obsessed or focused on my body. I remember my friends would have swimming pool parties and I would wear boy swim trunks and a bikini top. And it wasn't like I was fat. I had an average body and other girls would wear regular bikini bottoms, but not me. I was fat or I just didn't want people to look at me and judge me. And I didn't have big boobs and that was embarrassing for me at the time. And to all my fellow women that have A cups, you are heard and seen. It really was a struggle to deal with during these young school years because you're seeing other girls around you growing breasts and maturing, and your self-esteem kind of just gets crushed because kids are fucking mean. And it's just the way kids are sometimes. I don't know. I wasn't the best kid either, so I can't say that, you know, I was super nice to everyone. I was kind of an asshole, but I was also projecting for getting teased or bullied for certain things like how I looked or my race. With all that said, during those years, I don't know if it was because I was with older girls in my family and they had kind of filled into their bodies and they were maturing, but I was always looking at my body in the mirror. And my main focus for me was cellulite behind my thighs and my armpit fat and love handles is what I would call it. I always check those in the mirror and see if they went away or how they looked or if I was looking fat, because I didn't want anyone to see at school, or I wanted to be aware of how I looked to other people so I would know what to wear to hide it. And keep in mind, I am in elementary at this time. I'm, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, and it's just really sad to kind of think back at that and just see my younger self and feel so sad for her, because no child should have to go through that, and it was a big struggle for me during those years. So even when I look at photos of myself in late elementary or early middle school, I would never wear tank tops or spaghetti straps as they were. I would always wear a t-shirt and then like layer the tank top or spaghetti strap blouse over it so that I could make sure no one saw my armpit fat. And it's just kind of insane the process that went through my head to hide my body because I just didn't want to be picked on. So the year my body image obsession really got bad was the summer after 6th grade. I remember this specifically because my siblings and I were living with my cousins and we were stuck in this house all day because we were young, we couldn't drive. You know, my mom was at work and she wasn't around, so I was just kind of just stuck there. If I didn't go to school, I was there, and for the summer I was there the whole time. So I would scavenge my cousin's kitchen for any snacks I could eat. So I was just bored and I was kind of hungry, and I started eating out of boredom. I started that habit because I was just bored. I would sit at home and be on the internet and I would eat just sugar-filled snacks. And I remember telling my sister that there was no food that was mine. And so I found this big box of Kix, the cereal, those little like puffs, and a jar of frosting in the fridge, and I just like dipped it in the frosting and ate it. That was my snack. It was pretty rough. So summer was like about 2 months long, and I'm about 12 years old at this time. I'm sitting on my ass all day watching K-pop and eating whatever I could eat and find. That was my life, and I didn't go out at all. So inevitably I gained weight, probably anywhere from, I don't know, 7 to 10 pounds. I can't really tell at that time. So after that summer, the end of that summer, I moved to Texas. And this was the first time that I had did an annual checkup with a doctor that I could remember. And I was probably about 114 pounds. And the doctor was telling my aunt in front of me that I was leaning towards being overweight for my height or above average. And I'm 13 at this point. I've already been struggling immensely with my body image. And this wasn't just some person in my life making a comment. It was a professional. And so, of course, it just validated in my head that I was fat. If you see photos of me at this time, you can see that, you know, I didn't gain weight in my cheeks and my face, but I wouldn't say I was severely overweight. I think it's a shame that our system has a one-size-fits-all or average body composition that we feel the need to tell people they don't fit requirements if it goes outside the norm. And yes, there's a line between trying to live a healthy lifestyle and not eventually get diseases because you're unhealthy, but I don't know, it just felt wrong to be told at my age that I was above average, and I just felt like, okay, well, something's wrong with me. So I did end up joining gymnastics for the first time, and quite shortly after I quit because not only was it too late for me to start competitively, I'm sorry, my cat's meowing. But it was also just because I felt really out of shape and I got exhausted fast because I wasn't active in any way until about 15 or 16. So it was just a very discouraging sport for me. So I end up quitting and I'm living in Texas with my aunt and uncle, and they just opened a whole new world for me because there is so much food and so much snacks for me to eat. It's like unlimited food. It was the best thing ever that I had saw. Like, you just open a pantry or a fridge and there was just all of these snacks and drink. So it was hard for me not to eat. And at the same time, during this time, I was really obsessed with K-pop or Korean pop stars. If you don't know, they're like these perfect god-like statues, and all of the women and men are beautiful and slim and tall. But behind the scenes of that, these singers or idols, they go through a very restricted diet and physical regimen. And I had learned that through the shows as I watched them. These women had to be a certain size and they couldn't eat certain things. So again, I look up to these idols. I want to aspire to be them. And it's just fucking with my head more because I am just convinced that I have to follow this lifestyle to be like them. So I watched this show about one of my favorite girl groups, and I remember one of these singers, she talks about how she's hungry and like it's a known thing that she loves to eat, but she can't eat anything. So she's like, oh, I'm just going to eat broccoli or corn out of a can. And I'm like, oh, so I'll just do that to stay slim. I just won't eat a lot and I'll just eat like one vegetable. So I remember I would start buying broccoli and I would just boil broccoli and eat that. And I convinced myself that I was happy eating that and I was full. And I remember my aunt questioning me about it and I'm like, oh, I'm not hungry. But really, I'm just restricting myself. During my freshman year, I ended up moving back to California, and I realized that I lost weight while I was in California that year because I wasn't surrounded by unlimited food anymore and my intake was less, and I started becoming interested in boys, which kind of took away from my boredom and focus on foods, which I did notice was a kind of reward punishment system for myself to look a certain way. If I wanted to be slimmer, then I was highly motivated by men to not eat a lot or make sure I work out so that I could look good for them, and it wasn't a good mindset either. I was still hungry during those times, and I would remember I would eat a lot of just snacks. I would just eat the cereal life out of the box, and I would drink green tea and eat a lot of seaweed and McDonald's chicken nuggets, which wasn't great, but I ate a lot of that. So the year before I was a sophomore, I ended up moving back to Texas, and I was still struggling with myself. This is when I started picking up running, I believe, and I fucking hate running. Cardio has never been my favorite at all. I actually got into running recently, like right before the pandemic, and then COVID happened and I stopped, and I just don't have the energy to kind of start up again because it's a really slow process if you want to get into running. So anyways, I'm 15 at this time and I had a Tumblr for a while now. If you're familiar with Tumblr, you understand that it's kind of its own universe on social media, almost like a secret world where you can just be this angsty, emotional, sexual, depressed teen. And it's kind of a vibe, but it was also very toxic. And it's funny because I waited a bit to record this episode and I recently heard someone mention Tumblr skinny. And it just kind of sent me into this vortex of Tumblr past. There was this whole community of people that were obsessed with thigh gaps or skinny women, and it was a trend to be skinny at that time. Not that it wasn't commonly known, but Tumblr took it to a different level. You could kind of self-deprecate and you would get reposts or likes from that. And it was just a very toxic community. But I would follow these blogs of girls with eating disorders and anorexia, and they would just post photos of themselves publicly of how they used to be, you know, not super slim, and all of a sudden they're super skinny. And I was just fascinated because I wanted to be like them. And it's heartbreaking to see, but at the same time, you also wanted to be like them because being skinny was the goal. So back to when I started getting into exercising and running, I would run after school on this trail in the suburbs near the house I was living at the time. And I hated every second of it. I would also do a lot of Blogilates, YouTube workout videos in my room. And I truly don't want to disrespect the creator of that content because I don't think it's her intention. But the videos were titled like Slimmer Thighs in 7 Days. And so in my head, if I did cardio, I'm sorry, my cats are going crazy. If I did cardio and these little workouts, then I would be skinny in no time. So that was my mentality of these binge exercising things. If I just work out really hard for 1 week or 2 weeks, then I'll be really lean and skinny. And it was a vicious cycle that I was drawn into. One night, as I'm scrolling through my Tumblr, I'm following these blogs and seeing these posts, and someone reposts these free weight loss pills. And I'm reading people's replies and seeing, you know, if it's a scam or not. But then it shows that, you know, you do get the product and the product does work and all you have to do is pay for shipping. So I'm in high school at this time. I'm naive. I'm hopeful. I am desperate and I don't have a job at this age, but I have a little bit of money that I can spend and I want to lose weight. I want to have a certain aesthetic body and I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what was in them. I couldn't tell you what's in them. I can't really remember what happened, but I did get them. And I'm not sure exactly if I took these pills or not because it was so long ago. And I only remember another situation when I was a little bit older. These other pills that I have taken that I'll tell that story in a bit. And I can't remember if I was in 8th or 10th grade. So another quick story that I had with altering my body image was either in 8th or 10th grade. It was when I had moved to Texas. And I can't remember if it was the first time or when I moved back. But, you know, I was able to buy things that I didn't have the money to buy before. So I went to the store and I found these pregnancy stretch mark shea butter lotion, and I really wanted to buy it because I had stretch marks on the side of my butt, and I'm, you know, 13 to 15 here. I don't know that this is common amongst most people. You know, we don't really talk about our bodies like that during that age. At least the people around me didn't. And by this time, the stretch marks on my legs had already healed, so the lotion was kind of useless, but I was just so desperate that I would try to use them every night, and it was just something I was really insecure about, and I just thought it meant that, you know, I was getting fat and that stretch marks were bad. So I wasn't loving who I was at the time. I hated having stretch marks. I'm super insecure about that, and it's weird to see it now when I look at my body. It's not something that I feel the same about anymore. I don't even care about my stretch marks. They are what they are. I've learned to accept them. And It's completely normal to have stretch marks. Everybody I know has stretch marks. Even the slimmest people I know have stretch marks. It's just the human body. And I wish that we talked about that more when we're in that stage of transitioning to young adults. It just blows my mind how much we could influence younger people if we were better informed. The second story I have with taking weight loss pills was when I was either a sophomore or a junior. I had convinced someone older than me to take me to a GMC and buy, I believe they were green coffee bean weight loss pills. I'm sure they had other stuff in them too, but I had saw them on Dr. Oz, and I think Kim Kardashian raved about it, and it was just something that they said it worked, so then I believed that it would work. At this point, I was desperate to try anything, and so I get these pills, I start taking them. About a couple weeks, I developed this horrendous cough. Not sure what that was. I didn't tell anyone about it. That I was taking these pills or having this horrible symptoms. I stopped because I got really tired of coughing and wanted to see if maybe it was the pills that was causing this. And after I stopped taking it a couple weeks, I got better. The cough went away. But after a while, I wanted to start taking the pills again. And I wanted to see if it was the pills or if maybe it was something else that was causing that. But of course, I take the pills again and I develop this cough. And I start to feel awful again. I think I was kind of sick. I just said I just felt sick, and that was that. So I stopped taking them for good after that. I don't remember seeing any results because it was maybe just a short window, and maybe, of course, they just didn't work for me. They might work for other people, but they just did not work for me. So at this point, I am doing okay. I'm going to the gym still, trying to work more on my physical health, and I get into a relationship with my boyfriend at the time. So my focus starts to shift, and it was an emotionally difficult relationship, and my insecurities were up and down all the time. As much as I wanted to seem confident in my body, I wasn't. And I don't know how I found this product. It probably was from Tumblr, definitely online, which is a slippery slope. I mean, the things they put online are just kind of ridiculous, and it makes me sad because I have been a pawn in this game of just getting so drawn in because you're so desperate and you're so hopeful to achieve certain things, so you just spend your money on nonsense shit. So it pisses me off to this day to kind of see the Kardashians promoting these products, you know, plumping your butt, plumping your breast, slimming your stomach, and it's sickening because it's so much more than that, you know. Like, we need to put in the fucking work to take better care of ourselves, and for myself, during this time, I wanted to take the easy route out to achieve certain aesthetics, and it cost me my health even more. So if you are someone who has looked into things like that, just be better to your body and just make good decisions in physical health and what you intake, what you consume. Don't try to use a certain product to achieve certain goals. It can help. You know, I don't want to say that all products are bad. I'm sure there are things out there that can help improve or help aid in your goals, but don't rely solely on that. So this product that I get is a lotion that is supposed to increase breast mass. I've always been an A cup for all of my life. In high school, I probably had less breast volume than I did now, but I was always so insecure about that. And it's hard because during that time, you see all these other women and girls in school that are growing into their bodies, and it's hard for a woman to not feel like people will like her, especially, like, you know, we're so boy crazed at that time where we feel like we have to have bigger breasts because that's what boys like. And I kind of wonder, and I'm sure it's probably a thing of men feeling that same way if they don't have a bigger penis, I guess. I feel like that's probably the equivalent to women comparing their bodies versus men comparing their bodies, maybe. So I bought this cream and you just rub it on your boobs every day and somehow it increases some whatever chemical to give you bigger boobs. And it just sounds crazy. And my boyfriend was like, okay, the fuck are you doing? But I watched YouTube videos and reviews and I was convinced that it would work. So I did it for months and yeah, no results. none at all. At this point, I'm just over using products. I kind of learned my lesson. After so many trial runs, I realized that it's just all a scam. During this time, I started going to the gym more often, and I was getting in a better mindset of weightlifting and building muscle. And around this time, I feel that that's when women heavy lifting or going to the gym was getting more popular. So the aesthetic was starting to change from just being skinny to having muscle and being bulkier and getting gains in certain areas. So the desire to have abs during this time or a small waist and an hourglass body was the new aesthetic for me. And I just wanted to be really lean. And I was following these people that were really into competitive gym competitions, and they were just really lean and followed these crazy diets, food restrictions. And as much as I wanted to think maybe I was in a better headspace, I still had tendencies that I couldn't let go of trying to attain certain physiques and trying to mask it in a different way. So this is probably around the year 2013 when waist trainers are getting really popular. So this trend really blew up. I'm about 18 at this time. I buy my first waist trainer and I want to achieve this small waist figure. So I get this waist trainer and it's latex on the outside with two sets of hook and eye closures. So I put on the widest closure and it's really tight. And at this time, I would say I was pretty average for my size, a slim girl. I wasn't big or anything. And this waist trainer was so tight. I had to hook the bottom closures first around the smallest point on my waist and tug it down like the ladies wearing corsets, like having to like shove my body into this waist trainer and just squish all of my organs. It was so uncomfortable and probably really, really bad for my body. But I tried to wear it for a few hours a day. I would drive in it, I would run errands in it, and it was so uncomfortable to sit in. You couldn't sit in it comfortably. It would crush into my ribs. I'd have to sit oddly in the car. And eventually, I just stopped wearing it because it was just unrealistic. The results were not there. I think the people that wear these waist trainers, for the most part, you wear them full time to achieve that aesthetic. And that is so uncomfortable. It's not for wearing to achieve results, it's just wearing it full time, which is just insane to myself. After wearing it, it's just torture. The purpose of these stories is to share the measures that I went to in order to try to be skinny or attain a certain physique, and just sharing that with you guys because no one would have suspected anything if I didn't openly share my experiences. And I've told, my close friends know, some of my family know, but I know that a lot of people that just see me on social media don't know my story. And during that time in high school, early college, I probably looked fine to people. I was slim or skinny to them or fit to them. And people couldn't really see that I was going through all of these measures to try to be enough for myself. And it was difficult to look back at. I know in that moment, I wasn't struggling as much as it may sound. I think I was just so hyper-focused on the goal that I didn't realize how fucked the things that I would do, like how fucked it was to do to myself. I just would just do it and tell myself, it's fine, it's gonna be okay because I'm gonna look this way and then I'll be happy. And it's really sad because it's just a lie that I try to, you know, I was in the cycle of trying to tell myself that I have to be a certain way or look a certain way. And I wasn't extremely overweight or noticeably bigger for my size. And so I felt like my feelings weren't valid, and that if I talked about my struggles openly, then I would get skinny shamed by people. And it was discouraging to try to complain about my weight, because in my head, I was invalidating myself. I was saying that, you know, I'm not 200 pounds, so therefore I'm not actually struggling. And, you know, people around me would always point out that I look fit or I look slim, whatever. Like, they would make that comment, so it made me feel like, well, I can't complain that I'm not happy with my body, because then they're gonna think that, like, I don't know, I'm a brat, or I'm just trying to get attention or something. And so whatever you look like, whatever you're going through, your feelings are valid, and fuck whoever tries to tell you otherwise. It's your experience. And that's what I will always stick to at the end of the day. It's your experience, not anyone else's. So to wrap up, I just want to remind everyone that if you're struggling with any body image, eating disorder, to reach out to someone, because there's someone out there that wants to help you and that loves you. And I'm going to make sure I try to put some resources in my bio that you can explore, as well as to remind everyone that what you see online on social media is merely an illusion. It's not reality. What my cat is saying right now, he is saying that it's just not real. These angles, these filters, it's not reality. And stop comparing yourself to that, because that's what starts the snowballing of you feeling like you need to compare yourself. At least for me, this is how it was. I felt like I had to compare myself to how these people looked, and this is how they looked every day. And the reality of it is that they don't look like that. So stop comparing yourself, because you're unique. There's no one else like you, and that's that. This episode was a bit longer than I expected, so I'm gonna have a second part discussing dealing with the struggle in my early 20s to now, where I'm currently at, as well as how my body image was affected by either family or friends or people around me, and how I've handled that throughout the years. Because that's a whole nother aspect of this body image conversation, is how much we are influenced or affected by the people around us. And I believe that is one of the main reasons why people develop certain habits or fixations, the environment that we are cultivated in. And so I'm gonna leave that here. I hope that my story helps you in any way and with whatever you may be dealing with or have gone through. Thank you guys for listening to my story. I love you all. Bye-bye.